Hello, everybody. I'm Warren Smith coming to you from Charlotte, North Carolina.
And I'm Natasha Cowden coming to you from Denver, Colorado. And we'd like to welcome you to the Ministry Watch podcast.
On today's program, Liberty University faces a record-breaking $14 million fine from the Department of Education. We'll explain why. Also, Dream City Church in Arizona partners with Turning Point USA to host a politically flavored conference for ministry leaders. Featured speakers include Eric Metaxas, Sean Fecht, and Jansen Franklin. We'll take a look. And later in the program, Wycliffe Bible Translators is selling its Florida headquarters.
We begin today with a look at Lifeway Christian Resources. The Nashville-based Southern Baptist entity hit a financial low in 2020, but it seems to be making a comeback.
Yeah, according to Ben Mandrell, Lifeway president and CEO, the revenue for 2023 hit $277 million. That's up 12% from the year before and over $70 million from its low of about $206 million in 2020, as you mentioned.
Well, that's a significant improvement. How did they do it?
Well, according to Mandrell, they did it by returning to our roots, in his words. The original mission of Lifeway was to serve local churches. Church leaders will choose Lifeway when we solve a problem and make their job easier.
Lifeway saw growth in every area of its resources, from Bible and curriculum sales to children and youth program materials and women's ministry events. So where do they plan to go from here?
Well, Mandrell described Lifeway's 2030 vision as one in which will empower 300,000 church leaders with research and resources to reach the nations. Lifeway is working with around 100,000 church leaders so far, but implementation of new technology and a realignment within the organization should allow it to triple the number of leaders it works with by 2030, Mandrell said.
Our next story involves the largest ever fine under the Clery Act against Liberty University.
According to the Department of Education, Liberty was fined $14 million for what it described as material and ongoing violations of the Clery Act, including with respect to its published crime statistics and treatment of sexual assault survivors.
Warren, can you remind us, what is the Clery Act?
Yeah, the Clery Act is an act that requires schools to take actions that create safe and secure campus communities. They're required to investigate complaints, and they're required to responsibly disclose that information about both crimes and other safety concerns.
Now, how has Liberty responded to the fine?
In a statement about the fine, Liberty called the review that had been ongoing since 2022 unfair treatment, as it faced the most extensive review period of any higher education institution in the department's history of published reviews.
Now, what can you tell us about the review itself?
The Department of Education's final review report listed 11 findings of failure by Liberty, including failing to comply with the Violence Against Women Act, inaccurate and incomplete disclosures about campus safety, failure to issue emergency notifications as required by federal regulations.
But Liberty claims that they've done a lot to correct those issues.
It has. Liberty President Dondi Costin said in a letter that the university has already spent $10 million since 2022 to improve infrastructure, security assets, and surveillance equipment. It's also trained employees about reporting and compliance requirements. Costi wrote, "Today is a new day at Liberty University. We remain committed to prioritizing the safety and security of our students and staff without exception."
Next, we have news of state-level bills which aim to protect clergy reporting abuse.
The Utah State Legislature passed a bill last week allowing legal protections for pastors who report abuse or neglect that they learn about during a religious confession. The bill now heads to Governor Spencer Cox's desk for his signature. Currently, clergy members in Utah are exempt from mandatory reporting of abuse if information regarding potential child abuse or neglect was shared by the perpetrator during a confession, and the member of the clergy is bound to maintain confidentiality.
Now, Washington State has also been working on a similar bill.
Yeah, but the second year in a row, that bill in Washington to make clergy mandatory reporters of child abuse has failed after it passed the Senate, but then died in the House at the end of February.
Well, let's look at one more story before we take a break. What do you have?
Well, just 2 weeks after the Southern Baptist Convention announced a new sexual abuse prevention and response curriculum for member congregations, there have been new allegations emerge. They've rocked a small SBC church in the Florida Keys.
What happened?
Monty Lavelle Chitty, he's 62 years of age. He's the pastor of First Baptist Church of Marathon, Florida, has been charged with sexual assault, lewd, lascivious behavior, and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. Now, police were first alerted by an anonymous caller claiming to have heard that the girl had told an adult that she had been raped. Then, and this is where it gets a little strange, they received a second call, and that call came from Chitty himself. Chitty said that he believed he was about to be accused of something, and he wanted to get ahead of the accusations. He said a young girl at his church had been drinking and had passed out on a couch in the library of the church, and he said he helped her to lie down on the couch, but did not touch her after that.
Is there any evidence to show who is telling the truth?
Well, police found text messages between Chitty and the girl that seems to corroborate her side of the story.
And police said Chitty admitted to sending those texts, but later invoked his right to attorney and denied the sexual contact.
That's right. Chitty, who was also described as a registered volunteer with the police office, was arrested on March 4th. The day after the alleged assault, and was released that night on a $75,000 bond. As of Wednesday, First Baptist Church of Marathon has not released any statement on its website or social media regarding the allegations.
Warren, let's take a short break. When we return, how chaplains with Denver Rescue Mission in Colorado are supporting the city's homeless. I'm Natasha Cowden, along with my co-host, Warren Smith. We'll have that story and much more after this short break.
Hey, everybody. Warren Smith taking a quick break from the podcast to let you know that during the month of March, we're offering a very special book to anyone who makes a donation to Ministry Watch during the month. The book is called End the Reign of Pain, Identifying and Treating Toxic Leadership. The author of this book is Dr. Ricardo Bodden. It's a new book to me, but when I met Ricardo at the National Religious Broadcasters in Nashville, Tennessee, a couple of weeks ago, and he gave me a copy of his book, you know, I took it kind of politely and said, thank you very much, but then I read it. This book is special. It's different from a lot of the leadership books that I've read in the last few years. It deals specifically with toxic leadership and how to deal with leadership in a Christian setting, a church, nonprofit organization. Recommend this book highly, and that's why we are offering it as our gift to anyone who makes a donation to Ministry Watch during the month of March. So go to ministrywatch.com, hit the donate button at the top of the page, make a gift of any amount, and we'll send you this book by Dr. Ricardo Bodden, End the Reign of Pain, Identifying and Treating Toxic Leadership. Highly recommended. Now, let's get back to the program.
Welcome back. I'm Natasha Cowden, along with my co-host Warren Smith, and you're listening to the Ministry Watch podcast. Well, up next is the story we promised to you before the break. Chaplains in Denver, Colorado are helping the homeless.
The unhoused in Denver can end up on the streets due to a myriad of problems, including a housing crisis there, social inequalities, racism, domestic violence, or mental health issues and addictions. But Denver Rescue Mission, a non-denominational Christian organization working with the homeless and unhoused, created a program there called New Life.
What can you tell us about the program?
Well, New Life is a year-long rehabilitation program designed to assist unhoused men in returning to their regular lives and serves participants in both Denver and throughout northern Colorado. The program's approach includes providing training, job search assistance, counseling, and spiritual guidance from chaplains. Since the program began in 1997, more than 1,000 men have now graduated, meaning that while at the mission, they found jobs and housing. But many struggles have occurred before they've reached that point. Last year, for example, 84 men graduated out of nearly 300 who had entered New Life programs that same year.
And currently, there are 5 chaplains who hold about 300 individual meetings each month.
And they don't feel like that they're meeting the demand. More people would like to see chaplains who complement the work of counselors and guide participants through addiction, mental health issues, and other traumas. By the way, the Denver Rescue Mission has high ratings in the Ministry Watch database. They get 4 out of 5 stars for financial efficiency, an A transparency grade, and a donor confidence score. In fact, our top score of 100.
Our next story is one that has a number of people concerned about the blurred lines between politics and the church.
Yeah, we've done a number of stories on this topic this year and plan a few more before the election. This week, though, the story is from Dream City Church. It held its annual Dream Conference in Phoenix, Arizona. The conference was a 3-day event, and it featured speakers, resources, workshops geared towards ministry leaders. This year, the church partnered with Charlie Kirk's Turning Point USA program.
And can you give us a little more background on Kirk and Turning Point USA?
Yeah, I can. Again, another organization that we've written a good bit about here at Ministry Watch. Charlie Kirk founded Turning Point USA at age 18, but it's now grown into an $80 million political machine. It's a nonprofit that rose to prominence working closely with Donald Trump to mobilize the youth vote during the 2016 campaign. Kirk also promoted claims of voter fraud during the 2020 election, and in a since-deleted tweet, promoted Turning Point Action's involvement in taking buses full of patriots to fight for the president on January 6, 2021. He was later questioned about his role in the riots by the House on January 6, but he pleaded the Fifth Amendment.
Now, how is Kirk connected to Dream City Church?
Well, Dream City Church is led by Pastor Luke Barnett, and they've had long ties to each other. In 2020, the church partnered with Turning Point Action, which is the political arm of Turning Point USA, to host a Donald Trump for a Students for Trump rally. This time, though, Kirk partnered with Barnett for the 2024 Strong Dreams Conference. Again, it took place February 26th through 28th. By the way, we have a longer story on this conference. You can find it at MinistryWatch.com.
Well, let's move to our next story, this one about a new lawsuit against Olivet University.
World Olivet Assembly is a movement founded by a controversial Korean-born religious leader named David Jang. They own Christian colleges as well as the Christian Post, and they continue to face legal problems here in the United States. A group of 4 students from Jang's Olivet University in California have sued the school, claiming that they were victims of trafficking and visa fraud. They were promised scholarships and schooling. They say that they were largely confined to campus and forced to provide unpaid manual labor in violation of U.S. law.
Now, how did this surface?
Well, in 2018, an Olivet student named Rebecca Singh called 911 to report that she was being held against her will on the campus in Anza. Agents from Homeland Security Investigations raided the campus in 2021. That investigation is still ongoing. But now Singh and three other students who came to America on student visas arranged by the school have sued Olivet, claiming that they were victims of Jang's global trafficking scheme to exploit disciples in the movement's schools and business ventures around the world.
And how has Olivet responded?
Olivet denies the claims and has countersued the four students. The lawsuit came as Olivet's accreditation hung in the balance. The Association of Biblical Higher Education put Olivet on its accredited institution on warning status last November, but it is now labeled the school as accredited, so it's taken it off the warning list. Now, I should add that Ministry Watch has been reporting on Jang-related organizations, including the Christian Post, for a number of years. In 2020, for example, Olivet University pleaded guilty to falsifying business records in connection with a money laundering scheme. The Christian Post and other Jang-affiliated publications and online news outlets have also admitted to overstating their readership numbers in order to increase advertising revenue.
Now, Warren, let's look at one more story before we take a break.
Recently resigned Pastor Corey Turner of Numa Church in Australia took to social media earlier this week to confess an extramarital affair with another woman from his church's leadership team. Turner and his wife Simone abruptly resigned from that church on February 4th. They were senior pastors of Numa Church, which is a multi-site Pentecostal megachurch based in Melbourne, Australia, but it does have sites here in the United States as well. Turner said that it's important that I publicly confess that the recent allegations towards me of my engagement in a morally inappropriate relationship is regrettably true. Stacy Hillier, the woman Turner admits to having the affair with, was also a fellow pastor, and she also resigned, according to a statement released by the Numa Church Board on February 9th.
What caused Turner to finally admit his guilt?
Well, the affair came to light when a member of the church accused Turner and Hillier of an inappropriate relationship, according to the statement. Under the circumstances, the board accepted their resignations and agreed to cooperate with Australian Christian churches in the process of an investigation. Numa Church, as I mentioned, has multi-site campuses around Australia, 10 campuses in Australia, as well as one in Bangkok, Thailand, and another here in the United States in San Francisco. The charismatic church has been compared to Hillsong Church, which has also been admired in scandals of its own. Going forward, Turner said that he and his family are pursuing ways to heal.
Warren, we're going to take another break. When we return, our lightning round of ministry news of the week. I'm Natasha Cowden with my co-host Warren Smith. More in a moment.
Hey everybody, Warren Smith interrupting the program once again just to remind you that during the month of March we are offering a new book by Dr. Ricardo Bodden on leadership and specifically how to deal with toxic leadership in an organization. The book is called End the Reign of Pain, Identifying and Treating Toxic Leadership. I've read a lot of leadership books over the years. This book is really special, and it is especially relevant for ministry and church leaders. If you're a pastor, a deacon, an elder, or a donor to a significant Christian organization, and you want to be wise in your stewardship or be helpful as a counselor to others that are in ministry, get this book. You can get it by making a donation of any size to Ministry Watch during the month of March. We will send it to you as our free gift, absolutely free, to say thank you for supporting Ministry Watch. End the Reign of Pain, Identifying and Treating Toxic Leadership by Ricardo Bodden. Just go to ministrywatch.com and hit the donate button at the top of the page.
Welcome back. I'm Natasha Cowden with my co-host Warren Smith, and you're listening to the Ministry Watch podcast. We like to use this last segment as a sort of lightning round of shorter news briefs. What's up first?
The nation's largest Bible translation organization is selling its 272-acre campus in Florida for an undisclosed price. The site contains about 167,000 square feet of Class A office space and ancillary support facilities, including an activity center, an RV park, corporate lodging, a visitor center, and a clinic. Wycliffe Bible Translators President John Chestnut told the Orlando Business Journal that the campus was originally built about 20 years ago, and they had projected a workforce of around 800. But in part because of work from home and other virtual arrangements, only about 200 people actually show up at the headquarters every day. Work from home trends have meant that only about 15% of the campus being utilized on most days. By the way, Wycliffe Bible Translators consistently tops Ministry Watch's list of the largest Bible translation organizations. 2022 revenue exceeded $300 million.
Well, next, wildfires have been raging across the Texas Panhandle and Western Oklahoma, and you've got some tips on how to think about giving, as well as what organizations are currently responding to the fires that may or may not be worth supporting. So let's start with giving tips.
Yeah, we do have some giving tips. For one thing, we encourage donors to know the organizations that they give to. Don't just give because you suddenly start seeing emotionally gripping ads on radio, television, or social media. Make sure the organizations that you give to, number two, actually have their own staff on the ground. And they're not just passing along your money to some other organization that, again, you may not know. And by the way, if they do pass that money along, they're likely keeping a portion of it for themselves. We have other tips as well as a list of organizations that meet these criteria at ministrywatch.com.
Now, what are some of those ministries?
Yeah, one of them is Convoy of Hope. Convoy of Hope is, of course, a very large relief and development organization. They partner with others on the ground in stricken areas that are providing relief and distribution materials for people in need. Ministry Watch gives a donor confidence score to Convoy of Hope a 74, which is not our top score, but it is still well within the Give with Confidence category. Also, the Austin Disaster Relief Network. This is a Texas-based group, has about 200 volunteer churches that work. They're monitoring the fire situation, and they are deploying volunteer teams to respond. Texas Baptist Men, another group that we often recommend here at Ministry Watch. They've been around since 1967. They've got volunteers on the ground throughout the state. Texas Baptist Men, by the way, is not a part of the Ministry Watch database because it's a part of the Southern Baptist Convention of Texas. Operation Blessing is another big ministry based in Virginia Beach, Virginia. They've deployed a team to Amarillo, Texas, and the Salvation Army, which I'm sure many of our listeners know about, has deployed disaster services personnel and volunteers to the panhandle town of Pampa, Texas, to provide food and water to firefighters and first responders there.
Who's in our ministry spotlight this week?
California-based ministry called World Impact is in the ministry spotlight because they've seen some drops in their ratings. So, for example, their transparency grade fell from a C to a D because they haven't provided Form 990s to the public since 2020. They also have a one-star financial rating for asset utilization. That's one of the worst in their leadership training sector. And while they have $28 million in assets, they only spent about $8.6 million on programs last year. These are just among the reasons why we've lowered World Impact's rating. They have a one-star overall financial efficiency rating, and you can read more about them, again, by either going to our database, the Ministry Watch 1000 database, or just by going to ministrywatch.com and reading our article, which is still on the front page.
And who did Christina highlight in her roundup of ministries making a difference?
Avenue of Life in Kansas City is first up in the 2022-23 school year. They worked in all four of the Wyandotte County school districts, serving over 2,500 households with essentials such as housing, utilities, classes, and food. They provided housing to 88 families, intensive case management to over 500 households, and worked with 50 unaccompanied youth in the local high school. By the way, Avenue of Life gets a 5-star, 100% A transparency grade from Ministry Watch. This is our top score. It's the highest grade that you can get in each of those categories. Also want to mention Ennis Assembly of God in Montana. They've started a prayer ministry for those who love coffee. People have sent him coffee mugs from their state, city, or county along with a prayer list. And every time Josh Barnhart of Ennis Assembly of God fills up a cup of coffee, he prays for the people of that area, the area that's described on the coffee cup that he's got. He says that it's an all-day reminder to pray for pastors, missionaries, leaders, and churches, people from all over the country who need to hear the gospel. And finally, I want to mention Ron Hutchcraft Ministries. It is in year two of a new gap year program that we've reported on in the past. This 9-month program disciples young Native Americans in leadership and evangelism, training them to bring the hope of the gospel to their own people.
And Warren, do you have any final thoughts before we go?
Yeah, a couple. I was in Texas this week meeting with donors and supporters of Ministry Watch. It was really a great visit. If you were one of those that showed up for one of our events, we had a couple of lunches as well as some coffee events. I've never done one of those, and it was really a lot of fun. Just want to say thank you for that and hope to see you again the next time I am through Texas. I'll be home for a few weeks now, but in April, I'm headed back out to the True Charity Conference in Springfield, Missouri. If you plan to be at that event, and I know a lot of our listeners are ministry leaders that, in fact, might be there, I hope you'll send me an email because I'd love to connect whenever we're there together. And I want to remind everybody that we're offering an important new book this month to everyone who donates to Ministry Watch. It's called End the Reign of Pain, Identifying and Treating Toxic Leadership. It's by Dr. Ricardo Bodden. I just came across this book a couple of months ago. I've already talked about it here on the podcast, so I won't go into a lot of detail today, other than to say that I really like this book, and we will send it to you as our thank you for a gift of any size to Ministry Watch this month. Just go to ministrywatch.com and hit the donate button at the top of the page.
The producers for today's program are Rich Rosl and Jeff McIntosh. We get database and other technical support from Stephen DeBerry, Rod Pitzer, and Casey Seddeth. Writers who contributed to today's program include Tony Matter, Magdalena Rojo, Steve Raby, Kim Roberts, Brittany Smith, Zach Rivas, Christina Darnell, and Hugh Warren. Special thanks to Religion Unplugged for contributing materials for this week's podcast. And you've been listening to the Ministry Watch podcast. Until next time, may God bless you.